And we were supposed to be underway with Stars hockey last night in Florida, but when 17 players test positive for COVID-19, you're going to delay your season. And so we wait for the start at some point next week. But we say good morning to Razor. Hey, Daryl.
Sergio. How many COVID cases do you need to actually categorize it as an outbreak? Where's it cut off?
I don't know. More than six, maybe?
Five? Yeah, I'd say more than six. Okay.
Somewhere in there.
An outbreak.
Yeah, that was quite the outbreak. And the town is still buzzing from your appearance on Tuesday morning, Bands of Your Life. That was pretty awesome.
It was fun.
And it's very uneven start, but that's just the way it's been for the last 9 months around this world. It looks like it will start next week, but wow, that's a rocky way to begin a season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it just feels like everyone else, it's almost like they got a bye or something, you know, in the first 2 weeks of the regular season. Everyone else is playing and they're sitting there. We're not even allowed to go and watch them at practice, those that are practicing right now. You know, they're just trying to get themselves healthy enough to ice the team that they want to, you know, feel like they've got a chance to do something with here going forward. And they got to go through all the protocols and everything. And it's weird, though. I sit there last night. There were 10 games going on, and we were supposed to be going. We should have been talking about game one against Florida this morning, and instead we got to bide our time until sometime next week, whether it'll be the second game in Tampa, which would be kind of apropos with those two meeting again after they met in the Stanley Cup final up in the bubble in Edmonton, and then their home opener in front of fans at American Airlines Center, which is going to be something else.
So they're cutting the schedule to 56 games, but it still kind of has that feeling that I guess every sport, every league has felt as they embark on a season. There are going to be a lot of starts and stops, and don't you imagine we're going to have a weird first couple of months?
I would think so, yeah. Well, I mean, we're already in it with the Stars, but, you know, with teams starting to travel around and exposed within arenas into multiple sports, like, it just, yeah, you got to be able to change on the fly if you're going to use, you know, a term out of our sport. Everything can't be structured, and the more you can just shrug your shoulder and plow forward, the better off you're going to be. And that's where, in some ways, the Stars should be as well set up as any team in the league, because that's what sort of powered them up in the bubble in Edmonton during the playoffs, where, you know, I think a lot of individuals and a lot of teams were freaked out by the dystopian sort of aspect of it, whereas the Stars found a way to galvanize and get through it. And, you know, that wasn't just up there. That has been developed over a little bit of time with this group. And with Rick Bowness at the helm, I believe it filters down from that, too, where you're able to just go, okay, they threw another pile of gunk at us today, and let's see how we handle it and move on. But if you think this is going to go the way that you have it in your mind from beginning to end, I think you're going to get completely thrown off your rails. And the schedule itself, though, is like, I'm really intrigued by it. With you're only going to play within your division,
yeah,
and you're going to play back-to-back games against teams in your division, not necessarily on consecutive days, although you'll do that sometimes, but you're going to play, let's say, on a Friday and then on a Sunday. And with that, it gives it sort of a NCAA, that's what you do in hockey, in the NCAA. They go in on the weekend, they play Friday, Saturday, and then they prepare all week. Well, they're not going to be able to prepare all week, but they will be playing these two-game sets. And a little bit baseball-like, too, I would think, mm-hmm. where, you know, you're going in for a series against this team, and or they're coming in to play you. So it's 56 games in about 116 days. So it's a pretty exhausting-looking sprint against very familiar foes. And it should build up some animosity and, I think, some fabulous hockey along the way.
Yeah, and then the top four from each division go on to the playoffs. It seems like a really innovative way to just make do. I've been impressed by all of the professional leagues, whether it's been a bubble or it's been the scheduling. We talked to Gary Bettman a few months back. I guess it was during the playoffs about, you know, this year. And, you know, that had to have been a headache just to put all this together and try to roll it out.
Oh, I mean, the accolades that all, like you say, all these leagues have been given and showered with, it is very deserved, because it's not easy. It was easier for our league to do the bubble than it will be to do or pull off what they're going to pull off here in the next 4 or 5 months. Because, I mean, once they got everyone up into either Toronto or Edmonton, I mean, you were fine. Other than the mental strain of just, you know, having to walk from your hotel to the rink and back again. But this brings in so many different variables, and yet they found a way. Like, it was fun watching the games and seeing how each arena is decked out for these games. Cause I mean, a lot of them don't have fans. Some of them do, and they put them in the upper bowl. All the bags or tarps that are on the seats in the lower bowl are different colors now. It feels more like a home rink, but like, I watched the Red Wings play last night. Man, it was just red. The whole screen was red, and then the rink is white with the players on it, and it seems like it draws your eye maybe even better to the surface, the playing surface, for television than it did when there were people in the stands. The audio portion of it is a huge part, too, because you don't have that ebb and flow of ambient sound from an arena unless you pipe it in artificially, and they've done an amazing job of being able to do that. So I mean, it's just one layer after another to pull this off, and it's pretty amazing. It really is that they're able to do this.
This week Gary Bettman said the league could stand to lose at least $1 billion, and he didn't even specify whether that's 1 billion singular or billions, but he thought that what they're going to embark on, he said they actually would have lost, you know, a lot more if they'd taken a different approach. So he was in a way feeling good about only losing $1 billion, but that's $1 billion. What do you think the short-term and long-term ramifications could be from losing that kind of revenue?
Here's a FUBU shirt joke waiting to be told, I think, with that. $1 billion.
$1 billion. I'll tell you that.
The great thing and the crappy thing, I guess, going forward is that they put together a 50-50 split between the players and owners as far as the good times and the bad times. And they're going through bad times now, obviously, financially, with those types of losses, with the hope that going forward, you know, this pandemic is going to go away. They're going to be able to pick the pieces up, slap them back together, and away we go with our fans in attendance and the revenues growing the way that they had been, you know, for a long, long time. The owners are going to be able to have their losses offset a little bit by clawbacks from players, because there is this guarantee of a 50-50 revenue split between the two sides. Now, there's a new television deal in the United States coming, national television deal, and that is going to help. Everyone believes it's going to grow by 3 or 4-fold from what it is right now. That'll help. Every one of these ownership groups are going to get a massive check from the Seattle expansion team here in the spring. You know, it's cost them $650 million just to come into the league, and that gets shared just by the owners. Players don't get a cut of that, so that'll help a little bit. But I think everyone's had to just sort of adjust, at least in the short term here, and that means the next couple years as well. What the free agents were going to make and what everyone's going to make, and just make do right now. Make sure that you stay viable as a league and a sport, stay in front of people's eyes, And then hopefully, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel here in short order, and they can get back to regular, a regular-ish business.
It's Daryl Raiser-Ray with us here on The Ticket. Of course, you hear all the Stars games when they start here on 96.7 and 1310 AM. Now, I haven't heard, are you guys going to be, you and Josh, going to be at the arena for home games and in a studio for road, or how is that going to work?
Yeah, I'd like to know too.
Okay.
We're going to be at American Airlines Center for our games. I mean, there are pages and pages and pages of guidelines and protocols from the league as to where you can go and what you have to wear and what you can't do, understandably so. But with, I think, basically every home broadcast is going to be at the venue. And then we're not allowed to travel. Nobody's traveling. Any broadcasts, as far as the regionals are concerned, aren't traveling. So we'll call that from somewhere. I don't think we're quite sure where. The problem with doing it the way we did it in the when the games were in the bubble is there are just so many sports going on right now that it's difficult to find even studio space over at Fox Sports Southwest to be able to do it the way we did, because there's a multitude of basketball games and now hockey games and whatever else going on, college games on any given night. So we'll find a space to call it from. And that's the amazing thing that's gone on. I mean, technology allows you to do it. I mean, look at you guys, right?
Yeah.
You're able to do what we could never do 10 years ago remotely and have it sound and look as good as it does. There's no chance we would do that a decade ago, whereas now we can. And at times you can do a better job, I feel, by doing it remotely than you could going to, let's say, Anaheim, and they give you the toilet seat up at the top of the top bowl. The game's a rumor down there. You have awful conditions, terrible monitors and what have you, and instead you're here with great big, clear monitors. The difference now is that we're going to be able to control more of what we see. Our production crew, our crack production crew, will be able to do that. Whereas before, we were basically just calling whatever came up on the screen because we couldn't control as much as we'll be able to control now. So all the home feeds will be pumping out a production that the road team's productions back home will be able to piggyback on and call the games off of monitors back wherever they're at in their venues. Crazy.
Well, my kids are out of the house now. We got an extra bedroom if you want to come over and just do it from there.
Hey, look, I saw Herb Street and those guys get all set up at their homes, and I was like, man, maybe you guys could just come and drop 15 monitors and 50 grand to make sure I can call it from my back porch. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we'll get into specifics about the team next week when the season starts up, whenever that is,
it's
going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, and it's a pretty interesting group. I mean, they return almost everybody, and they're missing some pieces because of injury and what have you, but they're not getting a ton of love outside of here as far as what people think they can do this year, which is shocking to me, but we can get into that next week.
All right. Have a good weekend, Razor, and we'll talk next Friday.
All right. See you, boys.
See you. That's Daryl Raiser-Ray. Every Friday, 8:55, we start our visits as the hockey season starts up.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.